Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Valley Brook Community Church. It's so good to see you all here this morning and good to be here. Amen. I want to introduce our opening song, which is called Look at the World. And it is a song based on the scripture I'm about to read. And it is also, I want you to know, a song that our dear sister Beth Chernichowski found and brought to our attention. And so this is from her. And it is based on this scripture from 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 14, where it reads as follows. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Amen.
That was beautiful. Well, I know things are starting to feel like they're getting a little bit back to normal. When we walked in, Jayla handed me this, a mint. We haven't had mints here in like years, so I'm excited. Good morning and welcome to Valley Brook. We want to give a special welcome to all of our first-time visitors and viewers. We are happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. Those at home may click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card. Please take a few minutes to complete it to help us pray for you. You may also, as well as notify you of future Valley Brook events. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the service. Talking about streaming, we do have three options for viewing our Sunday service virtually. You can go to the website and click on to the streaming tab. You can connect directly to the stream via vbccstream.com, or you can go to our Facebook page at VBCC Online to connect. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corner tab or on the streaming tab on our website, and we will be happy to lift you up. Also, join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for our Power Hour of Prayer. The phone number and access code are listed on our website's homepage and in today's bulletin. Offering. For your convenience, you may contribute on our website through our Giving tab or mail your donations to our office address as listed on the back of the bulletin. Speaking about bulletins, please reference this morning's bulletin for our scripture reading and more complete information about the Valley Brook happenings. You may also access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. COVID safety. Valley Brook Community Church is committed to providing a safe and healthy facility for our staff, members, and visitors. In light of the new developments with the COVID-19 pandemic, we must strive to help keep one another safe. So please take a look at today's bulletin and see how we can help one another during these times. Another way I know we're slowly getting back to normal. Friends and Family Day. Woohoo! July 24th, we'll talk about July later, is the date for this year's annual Friends and Family Day. We will begin the day with a wonderful morning of worship, and then we will head down to the Fellowship Center for our annual picnic and baptism. It's casual Sunday, so please come to church dressed for the picnic. If you or your child feel the Lord's calling to be baptized, or you have questions about baptism, please contact Pastor Dan ASAP. Now, speaking about July, every month is special, really. But there's something about July. So, just a few things. Think about this weekend. We have Independence Day and fireworks. So celebratory. For kids, school is out for 31 days this month. It's the only one in most counties where there are such a vacation. For the French, even the French get on board with July. It's Bastille Day, they celebrate. And for those that like it hot, July is a hot month. For baseball lovers, there's the All-Star Game. For football lovers, practices begin. And then, of course, the church picnic. Yeah, so let's celebrate some more special things in July. So we have birthdays. Yes, so July 1st, we have Josiel Mayo. Happy birthday, Josiel. July 3rd, wait, that's today. Avon Dorsey and Maya Vu, happy birthday. July 5th, Robert Craig. Happy birthday, Robert. July 8th, Lisa Hayes. Happy birthday, Lisa. July 10th, James Barnes Sr. Happy birthday, James Barnes. July 12th, Marcel Allen. Happy birthday. July 16th, Jasmine Brown. Happy birthday to you. July 17th, we have three. We have Anika Beatty Mills. We have Maureen Davis and Akasha Archer. Happy birthday to you. July 19th, Jessica Hayes. July 22nd, Gina Standard. Happy birthday to you. We have July 23rd, there are two, Shanice Archer and Miss Mary, Mary Holly. Happy birthday. And July 24th, they're going to celebrate my birthday at the picnic, Neola Parson. I'm so excited. Thank you for letting me do this. And now, of course, we have Robert Craig, who's celebrating his birthday this month as well.
Good morning, church. It's so good to see everyone. And I'll be reading Psalm 67. And wanted to say that I am excited about 2 days from now, because I get to celebrate my 29th birthday for the 35th time. And also my great-great nephew will be 2 years old. So, yes. And I want to say, read this psalm, I want to just say, God is good. And that song that you just played fit so perfectly with what I've been thinking about this week and a part of what I wanted to pray today. And so just God just works wonders all the time. So let's read Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Yes. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. And I have to say, and as I was reading that, thinking of the 4th of July and independence and thinking about this nation, that there are many, many, many wonderful things that God has done for this nation and has given us, that people will even put themselves in such a position that they may die trying to get to this country, to have freedom, to have opportunities that God has given to us that we were born into. And I am just so grateful that God has shown himself to us personally, and he has given us so much as a people and as a church, as a nation. And this down here, I'm going to add this to the prayer of this song. So let's pray together. Father, we got to praise you. As the psalmist said, we need to praise you over and over and over again. For there is nothing that we have that didn't come from you. So, Father, we give you all the thanks. We give you all the praise. And we ask that you give us thankful hearts that we may see all the gifts we share and every blessing, that we know they all come from you. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And we thank you for the opportunity to give a little back. We thank you for the opportunity to say thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you pour your grace upon us. We thank you that you're kind to us. We thank you that you are in us. We thank you that you are with us every single day. And we give you praise and we thank you for this nation. And we ask that we would actually unite because of you, working together to show love for one another and love to you, and that this nation can show the light of God throughout all the world. And we give you the praise through Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's just call it Majestic Sunday. That was wonderful. And praise the Lord for another month. Let's give him a hand and thank him for bringing us here. Happy birthday, Avon. Happy birthday, Maya. It's a good thing you're not here. We might have a little bit more of a celebration by having you stand up and making a big fuss all over you, but we can still do it virtually. And may God give you many, many, many more. And Robert, I'm glad that you are going to have your 29th birthday for the 35th time. That's wonderful. Remember that montage that Beth, well, that was accompanying the song that Beth recommended. It is so appropriate for this morning's message. I was drinking it up. Did I not? Am I not on? Okay, am I this? I can get rid of this, right? All right, good. That's off. All righty. Good. I was confused. Okay. Let's thank the Lord for bringing us into another month, for bringing us into July. This month, our theme is spiritual warfare, as it is every July. And, it's a theme in which we address the world of unseen forces. The world of unseen forces that have impact on our physical world, the world we live in every day in general, and in each of our lives specifically. The unseen world, you could either think of it as unseen with S-E-E-N, unseen, or unseen, U-N-S-C-E-N-E. It's behind the scenes. As well, the scripture calls it a struggle that is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So let's take a moment and ask the Lord to open our eyes to what is unseen and to trust him to help us to know how to navigate in the world that we see and the world that we have to deal with every day. And at the same time, be cognizant of and navigate those unseen forces in a way that nurtures our lives and the lives of others around us. So, Lord, we thank you for your glory, and it does march on. It has been marching on since the beginning of the world, Lord. No matter what darkness has enshrouded the world, your glory still manages to show up in surprising ways. And we thank you that we are recipients of that glory. Each one of us, the glory of God has risen upon each one of us. The glory of God lives within each of us. It's not out there somewhere. It's within each of us by your presence. And we ask that as we look at today's message and, Lord, indeed, these series of messages on spiritual warfare, that you would bless our understanding. Lord, whatever is familiar, we ask that you would make it fresh. More than just fresh, you'd impress us with the reality of it. That, Lord, we would see what is going on with your eyes, and that it may have the impact on our hearts, Lord, that you would desire for it to have. So we give you thanks, and we look forward to this time now in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, today's message is titled, Better is Best. Better is Best. And our text is 1 John 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And by the way, the picnic is a BYOS. Bring your own stuff. We will have some drinks there, possibly, and some other things. But last year, it was such a wonderful time having everyone there, bringing their own picnic stuff, and at the same time using the church grounds there to fellowship with one another. What's really good about that is that you can, if you don't bring something, you can steal it from one of your neighbors, you know. You can run over, if you didn't bring chicken, you can run over and grab some chicken. If they had sandwich, you run over and grab sandwich, if they'll let you. 1 John 4, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that word. It says, you have overcome them. Brothers and sisters in this room, men and women who have come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, men and women in whom the Spirit of God dwells, men and women in whom the Spirit of God continues to remind you that you belong to Him, you have overcome them, not because you are smarter, not because you are stronger, not because you are more spiritual. It tells us why we have overcome. We have overcome because of the one who is in us. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. I want to take you to last Friday. And for those of you who had a chance to read the Just a Moment piece, I want to use it as a launching pad for the rest of our discussion about 1 John here. In the Just a Moment piece I wrote on Friday, I wrote these words. Here's what I'm learning about trusting in the Lord. Rather than seeing it as a spiritual discipline, I am thankful to Him today for the opportunity, and really for the invitation. It's more than an opportunity. It's an invitation to trust in Him. It's not a better. It's not a should. It's an opportunity and it's an invitation. The reason why it's an invitation and it's an opportunity is simply put because He's just better than me. He's better than me. He is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. In all things, not just one area, He's the GOAT in all things, at all times. He's more creative. He's funnier. That's right. He's more powerful. He is wiser. He is more patient. Somebody said amen. He is more loving. He is all of that and more. And because He is better, because He is better, I am a better me, and my life is a better experience when I am receptive and responsive to the one who lives in me. trusting in him. As it is written, blessed or happy is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, because the one in whom he trusts is greater than the one who is in the world. He is better than us, and better is best. He's greater than the one who lives in the world, and he is better than us, and better is best. I was raised to think of myself as not being better than anybody else, but also to not think that anybody else was better than me. We're instructed in the scriptures to consider others better than ourselves. But that is in terms of rank and preference in giving honor to one another, not in value. Not in value. So God wants us to show honor to one another, but at the same time, hold on to the truth that we are all equally valuable to him. But the Lord's in a separate category. The Lord is in a separate category when it comes to better. He is better, and he's in a category of one. He is better. The one who is greater than he who is in the world is also the one who is better than me. Jesus had this to say about the one who's in the world. He said to the people who were opposing him, he said, if God were your father, this is John 8, 42 through 47, if you're just taking notes. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you'd love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I came from God. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And the reason we hear is because we do belong to God. And we hear because the grace of God opened our ears. We see because the grace of God opens our eyes. And we are now living in that truth because the one who is greater than the one who is in the world lives in each one of us. Jesus spoke some harsh words here. I mean, these are exceptionally strong words. Murderer from the beginning. Lying is his native language. Just as English is most of our native language. Think about that. Lying is the evil one's native tongue. When he opens his mouth, he's lying. Every time he opens his mouth, he's lying. Every lie is his offspring. He is the father of lies. As surely as Jesus is the living truth, the evil one is a living lie. Some specific examples I want to give you of how better makes a difference in our lives because of the one who is in us. Just a few examples. Family challenges, and we all have them. Amen. Someone once said, anybody that doesn't have family challenges and doesn't have somebody in their family that they kind of want to keep in the basement was born from a flash of lightning, not from another human being. Family challenges are hard to navigate. The couple that I introduced you to last week, that I'd known for so many years, after church, we went out to lunch. We had a chance to catch up. And we told stories about where we've been and our families and the challenges that our families meet. And some of the challenges that some of our most beloved family members are having spiritually even. And we exchanged notes and we talked about what to do. And my friend Dan said, you know, I'm having a tough time. Because I know love is important, but so is truth. And it's hard to know how to juggle those two things. There's love, and then there's truth. I don't want to be loving at the expense of truth. And I don't want to be so truthful that I leave love at the door. It's tough to navigate those two things. And I said, amen. I said, amen. And maybe you can say amen too. Sometimes we got a lot of truth and we want to tell the truth and we let the truth out. I'm going to just tell you the truth. And it's got the force of a jackhammer. Sometimes mingle with a little bit of rage. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And other times we're tongue-tied because we've got all this love in our hearts, but we can't grasp a truth that would be substantial in helping this person forward. And we know there are things that they can do or we can say. But we're paralyzed sometimes. We can't get it from here out. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. He was full of grace, the scripture says. He was full of grace and full of truth. That same Jesus lives in us, full of grace and full of truth. I said, sometimes we got a little bit of truth and a lot of grace. And other times we got a lot of grace and little truth. Jesus was full of both. So he's better. He met a woman at a well one day. You know the story well. She was all alone and he approached her. Grace! Wow, why is he talking to me? Grace. Then he told her the truth. But it wasn't a sharp right turn. It didn't have an edge to it. It wasn't a sledgehammer. It wasn't like buttering up the ear of corn with grace and then biting it. It wasn't a pretext. I'm going to give you this grace so I can really get that truth in there. They were both authentic. And he shared it with this woman in such a way that she was so refreshed, so reassured that she left her bucket there at the well and went and told everybody about it. You know the story. He loves me. And he told me the truth. And I felt both. I felt both coming from him. And then was Zacchaeus. We've talked about him in Bible study. Here was this man steeped in sin and everybody knew it. And Jesus said, I want to go home with you, Zacchaeus. And when they got to the house, not one recorded word is there of Jesus addressing Zacchaeus' sin. Just all grace. Because Jesus knew something that we can't know. He knew what Zacchaeus needed in that moment was not another lecture on how bad he was and what he needed to change. He needed a different experience, and the one who lives in you, who is greater than the one who lives in the world, gave it to him just pitch perfect. And Zacchaeus responded in an amazing way that astonished all. Greater is the one who's in you than the fog of what to do in relationships that many times is created by the evil one, because he wants to confuse the matter. But greater is the one who's in you. So it's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in myself. It's wonderful to recognize he's better. And so therefore, I am wise to trust in him. I'm not being spiritual. I'm wise. He's better. He knows how to do this stuff. He knows how to see this stuff. He knows how to handle this stuff. And he knows how to navigate around the schemes of the evil one. The man I encountered the other day was an interesting story. I'm walking, as I do every morning, I'm walking, and behold, a man is standing on the corner directly in my walking route, and he is holding a Jesus sign. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm walking straight there. He's holding this Jesus sign, and I'm aware of my uncertainty. I'm aware of whether I should just walk past him and not say a word, whether I want to stand there and talk to him. I didn't know what to do. I'm just walking. And I'm also aware as I'm walking of my growing desire and my many conversations with the Lord about my desire to grow in confidence in him with less confidence in my preparedness. See, we tend to trust more in our preparedness than to trust in the one who is in us, who's already prepared. So I'm walking along, and I have to believe it was the Holy Spirit said, remember all them conversations that we've had about confidence in me versus preparedness? So I'm walking up to him, and I did not make a decision. I just wound up stopping. It wasn't a decision. It was a response. And I wound up stopping. And I started talking to this man, and he didn't respond. Didn't say a word, just pointed at his Jesus sign. As he held, he just pointed at the Jesus sign. So I asked him something else, and he shook his head and just pointed at the Jesus sign. And I'm thinking, what kind of Jesus man are you? Here you got a sitting duck. You don't even know whether I'm a Christian or not. I'm standing here, and I'm so right. You should be scooping me up and telling me all about Jesus and getting me into the kingdom of God. Why are you just standing there pointing at this Jesus sign? But I said none of that. I asked him a third question, and things began to change. He mumbled something out. He had a heavy accent, so I could barely make out all that he was saying. But finally, he told me what church he was associated with. And I told him that I was a pastor. And the conversation warmed a little bit more. And he says, how long have you been a pastor? And I said, I've been a pastor 38 years. And he said, are you retired? Christian. Do I look retired? Something about me. What, why are you asking me that, man? You saying I'm old? What's up? I said, no, I'm just getting started. And he chuckled. And the conversation went on for a few more minutes. And I left. And he thanked me. And as I was leaving, I thought about that exchange because there were no fireworks. But you know what happened? The Lord reassured me that you don't always have to know what to say. And you don't always have to be prepared. And you don't always have to know what to do, because I am with you. And the one who is in you is greater than your perplexity about what to do next. And the evil one's attempts to separate my body. The evil one's attempts to cause me to stand back and pass judgment on this person who is approaching his faith in a way that's very different than me. His pointing at the sign and saying nothing, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just who he is. But what I discovered is that the Lord can work through all of that. And he reminded me of this verse. One day, John, one of Jesus's disciples, said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. And we tried to hinder him because he does not follow along with us. But Jesus said to him, do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you. And I had not thought of that verse in that context, but boy, did it apply. And it was the one who lives inside of me, honoring my desire and my prayers and the faith that he's giving me to continue to grow in confidence in him, so that I am not so bound up with worry about being prepared. The one who is in me is greater because he knows how to handle these things. And I just loved how he fed me that I'm just getting started line. That was so good. Yeah. We rejoiced over that. He was like, you like that, huh? Yeah. That was the perfect thing to say right then. And I didn't prepare. The one who is in me is greater than my uncertainty. And I thank the Lord for being in a real relationship with him. Don't you thank the Lord sometimes for just being in a real relationship with him? One without pretense, one without superstition, and one that is just more authentically you. Without having to be anything or be anywhere in particular, how he's honoring his promise to make himself real to you so that you can have a real relationship with him. Let me say this about science and God, because this is another area where the evil one who is in the world obfuscates and confuses stuff. Science and God. Romans 1:20 tells us this. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. That's why I love this montage, all the beauty of creation. The scripture says that God's invisible attributes can be clearly seen by what has been made. So what has happened that people don't see God's invisible attributes? What has happened? What has the one who is in the world done that has caused the disconnect between what we're seeing here in Romans about God's invisible attributes being clearly seen by what has been made. There are many, I wrote this in my journal. I said, there are many who reject God on what they consider a scientific basis. But what they've done essentially is to attribute the wonders of science to chance while relegating God to being a myth, alive only in the realm of superstition and fantasy, ruling over nothing but men's subjective beliefs. So they remove science as being the product of God's creation and made it a separate entity and removed God out of the equation altogether and turned him into a superstition. I can't explain it that well, but you know, the one who is in me is better than me and he's smarter than me. So what he has done is raised up believers amongst people who speak the language of science. Strong, impassioned, well-reasoned, articulate, well-respected men and women who've been touched by the one who is greater than the one who is in the world, who's trying to mulch the truth of who God is under the label of superstition and exalting science as though it itself were God. One, for example, one of these men that God has raised up is a man named John Polkinghorne. He is a highly esteemed physicist who actually just passed away last year. And he was a prominent and leading voice explaining the relationship between science and religion. He was a professor of mathematical physics at the University of Cambridge and was awarded the prestigious award of Fellow of the Royal Society, which was granted by the judges of the Royal Society of London, to individuals who have, quote, made a substantial contribution to the improvement of natural knowledge, including mathematics, engineering, science, and medical science. Among other recipients were Sir Isaac Newton and Sir Winston Churchill and Albert Einstein and even Stephen Hawking. So I'm reading his book now. I'm so fascinated. I'm reading his book. It's called Questions of Truth. And I would recommend it for science-oriented people. I'm not a scientist, but I find it fascinating. This guy is more like a C.S. Lewis who is a scientist. So he's a profound thinker and he is highly respected as one who is able to harmonize the profundity of what is mystical and supernatural and metaphysical with that which is called hard science. And this is what he said. He said, one could summarize the difference between science and religion by saying that they are asking different questions about the nature of reality. Science is concerned with the question, how? By what processes do things happen? Theology is concerned with the question, why? Is there a meaning and purpose behind what is happening? We are perfectly familiar with the fact that we can ask and answer both questions about the same event. For example, the kettle is boiling because burning gas heats the water. The kettle is burning also because I want to make a cup of tea. And will you have one too? We do not have to choose between these two answers. And in fact, if we are fully to understand the event of the boiling kettle, we need them both. In an exactly similar way, we need the insights of both science and religion if we are fully to understand the rich reality that we inhabit. Each one of his little pieces in this book is about 4 or 5 pages, and each one is subheaded by a question. So I highly recommend it. He's not writing, I say this as a disclaimer, he is not writing as a preacher. He is not writing as a theologian. He is writing as a scientist examining his faith through the lens of science and why it makes sense as a scientist. He's not the only one. Arthur Compton said this, "For myself, faith begins with a realization that a supreme intelligence brought the universe into being and created man. It's not difficult for me to have this faith, for it is incontrovertible that where there is a plan, there is intelligence. An orderly unfolding universe testifies to the truth of the most majestic statement ever uttered. In the beginning, God." These are all scientists, highly acclaimed, highly accomplished men and women who have scaled the mountain and looked at the factual evidence, the observable evidence, the empirical evidence for the existence of God. And I'll conclude with this last statement. For the scientist, this is by Robert Jastrow. He says, "For the scientist who has lived by faith in the power of reason alone, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who've been sitting there for centuries." You know, breaking this down, you know what? I think it's good for all of us. And this is something that I have been practicing with the Lord myself. I think it's good for every one of us to every once in a while to worship the one who is better. As the creator, as my creator, so that we can see that he's beyond our spiritual methods, so that we can see that he is beyond our rituals and our doctrinal positions and our carefully sculpted theology and doctrines. He's bigger. He's alive. He's much more vibrant than that. And that he is, in fact, the living word, the creator of heaven and earth. He's bigger than the words on the page that we read about him. That he is, in fact, the creator of heaven and earth. And all that we see, all that we can touch, all of the material universe is evidence that he is. And so whatever may be the obstacles in the realm of spiritual warfare, as we talk about it this morning is an overview, as we talk about the realm of spiritual warfare, let us begin this month with the premise that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world trying to confuse us and trying to confuse the world. He's better than us. And praise God because of it, because that will launch us into a greater eagerness to trust, a greater eagerness to rely upon him. We won't see it as a moral duty. We'll see it as a wise move, because the one who is in us is just better than us. And we don't have to be all of that. He is all of that. We don't have to know all of that, because he knows all of that. We don't have to control all of that, because he's in control of all of that. And when we remember that he is all of that, we can be okay with who we are as we grow in him. We can be okay. We can drop that burden of trying to be him. There's only one him. He's in a category of one. The one who's in you is greater, not you. Didn't say you're greater. Says the one who's in you is greater. And he manifests that greatness. Robert was singing, or he was actually, I'm saying singing because that song, Psalm 67, is a song that we put to scripture years and years and years ago. And we sang that song, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. But it is God's majesty that is on display in that psalm. And it is God's majesty that he wants to display through us so that he receives all the glory. And so that we are not tempted to walk around thinking my power and my brilliance. And maybe we are a lot more subtle than that. Look at how I have grown. Look at how I have grown, and we measure ourselves by ourselves instead of recognizing that's not the plan. The plan was for me to put one who is greater than the one who is in the world in you. And I want you to get to know him. I want you to rely upon him so that the better that he is can become displayed in your life. And you know that it's him. And you don't have to kind of act like it's him. You know that it's him. And that is what I want us to take away from this morning's message. And I'm done.
To the end.
Lord, we do just want to say amen and lift our hands in total praise to you. Because, Lord, you are worthy of our total praise. Everything we are and everything we have comes from you. Lord, you are the creator of heaven and earth, the universe, and all the laws and principles that have guided its continuance. You replenish the earth. You hold it all together, your word says. In you we move and we breathe and we exist. And we thank you for the comfort of knowing that the one who lives in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Lord, your word says that the whole world lies in the power and the deception of the evil one. You have rescued us from his dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light. We ask that you would help us to be blessed this afternoon and the week to come, Lord, blessed with awareness of your living presence in us in a way that causes us and draws us out, Lord, to trust in you and not in our own understanding, not in our own wisdom, not in our own strength, not in our own resources. So we look to you and we thank you for this time we've had together. Now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say amen. Amen and amen.